This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Gotta turn these people up. Another 5 hour KM to AM. You guessed it. We're about to talk about sports. Yup, spoiler alert. I like to talk about them all. Whatever you got, dial 888-808-1019. It's just me up here for the next 5 hours till midnight, taking your calls, watching the Knicks play, looking at Twitter. Weaving in and out of topics and conversations. Maybe I'll hit you with some storytelling. Maybe I'll hit you with some life stuff. I'll, of course, make it about myself at some point. And you call up. You can co-host for a couple minutes. I'll give you some time. So I did this show last night. A condensed version, right? I was on maybe 10:30 to 2 a.m., and I hit everything from the weekend. Not the Knicks getting owned by the Celtics. They can't lose to the Pacers tonight. The Super Bowl stuff, the football stuff. And there was a lot because I talked about having end of seasonal depression, just being sad watching the Super Bowl, understanding why there wasn't so much hype, understanding why it had no juice, understanding why we wanted to talk about anything else from Pete Alonso to Aaron Glenn's coaching staff to whomever. In the weeks leading up, that Super Bowl was lame. I mean, if you hate the Philadelphia Eagles, if you hate the city of Philadelphia, as far as their sports teams go, we'll get into them destroying their city and the parade coming up Friday where there's over 20 individuals who are being searched for right now because of what they did to the police Sunday night. Yeah, they're going to probably pop up Friday at the parade and get arrested. We'll get into, you know, all the things from the Super Bowl, from Patrick Mahomes playing the worst game of his career to that Eagles defense, Vic Fangio, dominant, Cooper DeJean, who I've been, you know, saying Cooper DeJean's name on this radio station for a long time now, months before he was drafted, him showing up, and Jalen Hurts, hand up, got to put more respect on that guy's name. He's a winner. He's done it. And, all credit goes to Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, Nick Sirianni, Jalen Carter, Quinyon Mitchell, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Zach Bond, Darius Slay. Like, they just have a lot of guys. I came around last night and I said I'm glad I wasn't on until like 10:30, 11 because it gave me a full 24 hours to process it. To the victor go the spoils, and you got to give credit where credit is due. Like Howie Roseman, another one. Goes in there and changes this team. They were free-falling the year before. He adds a new offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, an all-pro offensive player of the year at running back, drafts two dominant corners in the first and second round. And yeah, the Eagles, it sucks. It sucks. It sucks. The Eagles are champions, and it's a miserable season for anyone that roots against them. 888 888- 808-1019, but that's over. And what happens when the season ends? The season ends and we start thinking about next year. We start projecting into the future. Giants fans want to know, hey, how the hell are we going to get back to competing? We got Michael Strahan waving the Eagles flag, singing Fly, Eagles, Fly, kicking us in the teeth after the world told us Eli Manning was not a first ballot Hall of Famer, maybe not even a second time around Hall of Famer. After we lost 10 weeks in a row, had the number one pick, gave it back, and now we're in the three spot in the draft where we might get a quarterback, we might not. And honestly, there's no quarterback at the top of the draft that anyone is saying is generational, can't miss, going to be the leader of your franchise. So what do? We start to connect dots, and Adam Schefter reports that Chad Hall, the brother-in-law of Matthew Stafford, is hired. He was a receivers coach, but now he's a quarterbacks coach for the Giants. And then, you know, simple math will tell you, oh, the Giants got to be interested in Matthew Stafford, right? And we already heard that they want to move Cooper Kupp, and Matthew Stafford coming to the Big Easy, really the Big East Rutherford. I doubt it, but we'll talk around it. 888-808-1019. Dan Duggan will join us at 9:15, who covers the Giants for The Athletic, so we can talk all things Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, maybe explore a potential trade for Matt Stafford, Cooper Kupp, who honestly I don't think Stafford is going to get moved unless, you know, there's a good deal for him. I don't think LA, a team with Sean McVay that's been in contention and gets to the playoffs, I don't think that they're looking to just, you know, move on from him. Who are they going to put in? Stetson Bennett? Like, I don't really know if they're going to make that deal. But, I mean, this is where we are. After a miserable season like that, all you can do is dream and all you can do is hope and try and figure out what the next thing is going to be. And the Giants literally have no quarterback. The Giants not having a quarterback is a problem. It's been a problem for years now. And after a miserable season of off-season hard knocks, fire whoever decided for the Giants to go on the first ever off-season hard knocks and it be the year that they show the world how much they did not value Saquon Barkley, fire whoever made that decision, Joe Shane, the whole show was about him, and then how they handled the Daniel Jones situation, you know, going into the bye week, not telling Tommy DeVito, hey, you're going to start. Drew Lock thinks he's going to potentially start. And then they reduced Daniel Jones to playing safety in practice, and he asked for his... You guys know what happened. Terrible year for the Giants. We'll talk all around what they got to do to fix it. With some cap space, with another draft here, hitting on some picks last year, with the toughest strength of schedule coming up this football season and the longest Super Bowl odds. I remember last year, a lot of people said that the Giants had the worst roster in the NFL. A lot of people were ranking them 32nd or 31st, and we got on the radio and we said, preposterous, how? What? They hate the Giants. They were right. They were right. 888-808-1019. You need a quarterback. Start there. If they love Shedeur Sanders and he's available, get him. But, you know, when the Super Bowl comes, news starts to break. We hear stuff like Deebo Samuel wants a trade out. The Dallas Cowboys are exploring trade options potentially with Micah Parsons. And, oh, the Tennessee Titans may want to trade their number one overall pick. Well, if that's the case, the Giants should be on the phone. They had the pick, but, you know, Drew Lock happened against the Colts. I would seriously make that call because Shane and Daboll are coaching and making moves for their lives. And it's going to be all uphill. I don't know how they win more than five games next year. They need to win this fan base back, right? With an excellent offseason, bring in some free agents, draft some talent, find two quarterbacks, a veteran and a rookie, to get people back on board. Because what I feel right now is, you know, the Giants are irrelevant, and they've been irrelevant for a long time now. And, you know, Strahan can go on Fox and do what he did because it doesn't matter. There's no more honor. There's no more Giants pride. And they're disconnected from this front office and this regime. Amani Toomer echoed what he did. Amani Toomer took it way further than Strahan actually took it. He took a shot. He said it was a warning shot to the organization, right? We put blood, sweat, and tears in as Giants for this organization. We're not just going to be proud and be fans of what's going on right now. We want to see results. So, you know, these guys have come in like Daboll kicking his feet up. Shane just so confident in himself, never fearful of his job at all with planes flying over MetLife Stadium saying, fire these guys? No, wasn't worried at all about my job. Yeah, because you've done such a great job. 888-808-1019. This is a huge offseason for the Giants to get things right. And I just don't see how they compete in the NFC East. I don't see how they compete with their strength of schedule. They need to be masterful just to get Giants fans to rally around them. Maybe they go get Aaron Rodgers. No, don't. And I get it. Aaron Rodgers spoke about his place in New Jersey and how he wants to stay in Jersey and he wants to be here. Well, the only news that broke between my show last night and today is the news around Aaron Rodgers and Pat McAfee being the deal breaker, right? So Super Bowl Sunday, of course, we get the news. I remember last year, Super Bowl Sunday, Woody Johnson and the Jets dropped the bomb on all of us that they were changing their uniforms up. Yeah, that'll get them. Throw it out there. We're bringing back the classic unis. Whatever. We get the news that Aaron Rodgers will not be coming back. We get the news that, you know, he flew to Florham Park. Well, he flew to Newark and went to Florham Park and, you know, met with Aaron Glenn and met with Darren Mooji and this regime. And, you know, they decided that they're going to go their separate ways. And I spoke last night about a few things that I have in my list. Zach Rosenblatt from The Athletic will join us at 8:15. So in about an hour, Zach Rosenblatt, who works directly with Diana Russini, who's wrote a bunch of these pieces in The Athletic, really peeling back the layers to what goes on over there in Florham Park with the Jets. Yeah, he'll stop by to talk to us a little bit. And I've got a few things to hit him with about Aaron Rodgers and how, yeah, I was on board with, okay, Aaron Glenn, first-time head coach, first-time GM, and, you know, this new coaching staff, an offensive coordinator who's first-time calling plays and having that title. Like, you know, a guy like Aaron Rodgers is the exact bridge quarterback you need, but no, he's not. We all know Aaron Rodgers is the song that doesn't end. Well, it's over now. Like, it can end now. It's a wrap now. Tear the Band-Aid off. That's all he ever was. The Giants or the Jets need to heal. And it's funny, they're like one and the same. I always hear Loogie saying the Giants or the Jets now. It's crazy. We need baseball. We'll get to the baseball tonight, too. We need baseball so bad because the Giants and Jets are so bad. 888-808-1019. So Aaron Rodgers is done. That was another Jets fail. That was another failed experiment. You got him for four plays, and then you got him for a full season. And now, what's plan B? That was my first reaction. This is fine if you're moving on from the Hall of Famer. This is fine if you're moving on from a proven commodity at the quarterback position who you're most likely not going to find better quarterbacks that know the game, that can play the game, that have the experience. Maybe you'll find someone younger. You know, that's a knock against him. He's 41 going on 42 by the end of next season. Maybe you'll find someone who's actually going to buy in. And that's important, right? As the Yankees are reporting for spring training, and I see Devin Williams walking in with his full beard. Shout out to Devin Williams. I met him at American Dream last weekend at the Pinstripe Pride event. He's holding on to that beard until the very last seconds before he has to put on his team official merch and step out there on the field. And why do the Yankees have a shaving policy? It's to make guys fall in line, to buy into the team, that nobody is bigger than the squad. Aaron Rodgers has always been bigger than this Jet squad. He thought he was bigger than the Packers. And what did the Packers do? Goodbye. We're drafting your replacement. We're ready for him to start. Go ahead. Yeah, we'll do the deal. We'll do the trade. You're not our problem anymore. And now, Jets fans, Aaron Rodgers is not your problem anymore. And I understand the trauma that you've been through. I understand that you haven't had good quarterback play. So it's hard to imagine where you're going to go. But where you're going is in the direction of Aaron Glenn. He can't be bigger than Aaron Glenn in the room. His influence on Pat McAfee, him talking about ayahuasca, him showing us his ayahuasca retreat on Netflix, him and his anti-vax conspiracy theories, him always taking shots at people, just being snarky and smug, it's over with. It is over with. And that is how the Jets start to heal. 888-808-1019. He's old, so it would have just been one more year. And like I just said, you got four plays and then you got a full year. Who knows what this year would have been. Maybe you only get four games out of him. And then what, right? You go to Tyrod Taylor. Or, you know, you get this 1 year out of him and you're kicking the can down the road. You could miss the playoffs again with Aaron Rodgers and then be in this position next year. I think they just realize they got to get to this sooner rather than later. And let this new offensive coordinator come in and set up his scheme and his system. And not have to look over his shoulder and know that Aaron Rodgers knows more football than him and is more respected than him. I mean, you got guys like Quinnen Williams immediately tweeting out his displeasure. Shut up. Oh, I guess we're going through another rebuild. Yeah, maybe with that mentality. With that mentality, he sounds like you're just ready to lose again. Aaron Glenn is trying to win. Aaron Glenn is trying to change the culture. And how do you change the culture? You change the people. And I think that's what he aims to do. And obviously the cap hit, they rather just get to it now. And the biggest reason that I think that they moved on from Aaron Rodgers, they watched the film. This wasn't a Woody Johnson decision. Woody Johnson told you. I watched that whole press conference. I watched SNY. I watched all of the questions afterwards. I paid attention. I took notes. They asked Woody Johnson if he would have a hand in the decision making on Aaron Rodgers' return. He said no. Like, why would he hire these guys? He said, I just hired these guys to do that type of stuff, right? Don't forget about Rick Spielman as well and the timing of that announcement. I think he had something to do with it. I don't think this is a Woody Johnson decision. I don't think this is a Woody Johnson ego thing. I think this is a football decision because Aaron Glenn told you that day, it's not about Aaron Rodgers, it's about the roster. You got to be one of 53. Jalen Hurts is one of 53. That's why he blocks out all the outside noise. That's why he doesn't care about the criticism. He cares about the team. He cares about winning. He doesn't care if Saquon has 300 all-purpose yards and they win, and he's got 115 passing yards, no touchdowns, and they win. He doesn't care if he's MVP of the Super Bowl. I saw a video of the guy at Disney World. He looks so locked in, like he's focused on winning back-to-back Super Bowls. They couldn't get him to crack a smile. They're asking him all these janky questions, and he doesn't have answers. What's your favorite movie? I don't. He doesn't care. He cares about football and the team, and the Eagles are trying to start their own dynasty. If the Jets are going to get right, they got to start right now. 888-808-1019. So that's the biggest thing for me. They watch the film. Men lie. Women lie. Numbers don't, but stats do. Those Aaron Rodgers stats that somebody's going to call me, Keith, look at his stats. Shout out to Ben who called me last night. Well, if you put his stats up next to, it's very comparable. Yeah, but what's the number one stat? Wins. That W column. He didn't win enough. And he had opportunities to win. And he threw interceptions. And he took sacks. And he pointed the fingers at, you know, Mike Williams or Tyler Conklin or, you know, kind of phased Garrett Wilson out so he could stat pad with his buddy Devontae Adams, who's also out of here. Good. Goodbye. We don't need you guys popping up on Pat McAfee or Kay Adams show or whatever. That's not what they're going to be about. They're going to be about football and developing a winning culture. And I know if they sat down and actually combed through that film, and you know too, if you're a Jets fan and you watch all those games. I'm not a Jets fan, but because of this job, I watched all those games. There's plenty on film to tell you, nah, man. Nope. Got to move away from this guy. No, didn't he tap himself out of a game in Buffalo? Yeah, he tapped himself out of the game. 888-808-1019. Let's take a break now. Got a full rack of calls. There's so much to go around and talk about. So much random stuff happened. I just saw a video of Patrick Mahomes Sr., who just needs to stay inside. Patrick Mahomes Sr., down there in New Orleans, getting into a fight with former Braves pitcher John Rocker. I don't remember if they had beef back when they played. That's like before my time to really know. Was there some type of Mets Braves beef? But there's a video going viral of them in the streets. John Rocker comes out of a bar and starts talking crap to Pat Mahomes' dad. Yeah, we'll unpack all these different things. Right now, Hot Stove is on for the Yankees. We will get to Aaron Boone's presser and some of the comments. We will get to Carlos Mendoza saying that the Mets plan to have a six-man rotation. We'll do the New York dome talk, like building a dome. Could it happen? Will it, like, and something I'll say, man, about that before we break, 888-808-1019, it's not going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, like, it's not going to happen for a long time. They should have built a dome in East Rutherford. But, like, Kodai Senga saying that the weather is, like, the main appeal for Japanese players to go to L.A. The question was asked, how do we get more Japanese players to join the Mets? You can't. You got him. And, you know, Yamamoto and Roki Sasaki followed in the footsteps of Shohei Ohtani. And I should have known better about Roki. The baseball season kicks off this year in Tokyo. It's Dodgers versus Cubs in Japan. Roki Sasaki was always going to be a Dodger. It's a shorter flight home, and they're a dominant team. They just won the World Series, and the way that they deferred all this money, it looks like they could be the next dynasty in baseball if they can somehow go back-to-back, but I got a feeling they won't.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Back again. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let's have some fun tonight. Club going up on a Tuesday. Keith McPherson back on the Fan. Let's get right to the phone. 888-808-1019. Pat in Hawthorne, you got it.
Keith, how you doing, brother?
Good, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, man. Listen, just following up on the Giants stuff, right? I mean, you saw it jump out the Super Bowl, right? It's about the guys up front, right? You played quarterback. If you had a weak O-line, as good as you were or could be, you're done, right? Patrick Mahomes, probably the best QB in the league. Got his, you know, his O-line got their butts handed to him, right?
Yes, sir.
And that's
yes,
been the Giant. That's been the Giants' problem for the last 15 years, right? How many draft picks did they whiff on offensive line, right? I think it kept Eli out of the Hall of Fame because he was running for his life. Better. Talking about Matthew Stafford with that O-line? Terrible. I mean, they improved a little bit last year. But, you know, it's all about draft capital, right? You can't whiff on O-linemen. And it really is a sad state of affairs where the Giants are at. And I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel, brother. I don't. I really don't, man. Scary. Let's get pitchers and catchers, brother. That's what we've got to be focused on, right?
Thanks for the call, Pat. I was saying that last night. I don't see an end to the misery in sight. We've only just begun. Like, this might be another low single digit number of wins for the Giants this season. And, you know, I like how you started off, like, pointing to the Super Bowl, all right? Patrick Mahomes is still in the GOAT conversation, but so many people were just like, you know, myself included, man, Patrick Mahomes, don't bet against him. He gets that look in his eye, Mamba mentality. He's locked in. He's dialed in. He's one of the greatest of all time. He's going to find a way. You know, I'm like, if it's man or if it's zone, he knows where he's going to go with the ball. He'll make something happen. Mm-mm. I think the craziest stat is that they did not have to blitz once. Their front four just pinned their ears back knowing there is no tomorrow. There's no more games. This is the last game. This is the Super Bowl. Leave it all out on the field. Let's get after him. And they did. I knew Patrick Mahomes was shook. I knew Patrick Mahomes was cooked. When he had that play where he rolled out to his left, he spun around. He's in his own territory, deep in his own territory, running for his life. He throws a fluttering ball to his right on the run where there's a shoestring tackle of him. His head bounces off the turf. And I think C.J. Gardner-Johnson was this close to picking that ball off and taking it to the house. Like, sometimes guys like Patrick Mahomes, guys like Aaron Rodgers, I think they smell themselves a little bit. They get told that they're the GOAT and the best so much that they think they can defy gravity. They think that they can just commit cardinal sins for quarterbacks. As a quarterback, you get taught certain things to never do. Never throw back across your body. Throw the ball away, especially early in the game. Protect the ball deep in your own territory. I was looking at Patrick Mahomes like, Pat, what are you thinking? And, you know, eventually he ends up throwing interceptions. Cooper DeJean picks six. And, you know, when he got his head rocked like that off the turf, I thought he was seeing stars a bit. It took him a while to come back. It wasn't until later in the game where obviously he finds Xavier Worthy. They get some garbage time points. But that game was over at half because the offensive and defensive line of the Philadelphia Eagles imposed their will. 888-808-1019, the largest offensive line in the history of the Super Bowl, coming in at just under 1,700 pounds. A guy like Mekhi Becton, who was here with the Jets, moving in to play guard. You know, Jason Kelce retires. They don't need him. Cam Jurgens is ready to go. Lane Johnson is ready to go. Jordan Mailata is ready to go. It starts with the big boys up front. You're not doing anything if you don't have it in the trenches. And when you think about the Eric Flowers of the world, when you think about the Evan Neals of the world, when you think about Will Hernandez, you know, like Giants fans could probably call it with a bunch of offensive linemen that they've picked over the years that just were not it. Even right now, like I mentioned Evan Neal, John Michael Schmitz, is he really going to be the guy in the middle, like dealing with a Jalen Carter? You got to figure that out before you go get a 36-year-old Matthew Stafford and think that he's going to come into the swirling winds of the Meadowlands and ball out after playing in Ford Field and playing in SoFi Stadium, indoors. Indoors. His wife can say whatever she wants on her podcast. Whatever they're pillow talking about has nothing to do with the Rams, with Snead and McVay and their business, and then Shane and Dable and their business. This draft is so important, right? And I like what you also said, Pat, about Eli, because I was saying that last week when I was campaigning for Eli, that the Giants failed him just like they failed Saquon. You never saw this 2K say, you never saw this version of Saquon because they never had an offensive line in front of him. That's their fault. You draft him number two overall, you have him for his best years, fresh out of Penn State. You can't even get him to what we saw in his first year outside of the building. It's crazy. And then same thing with Eli. People want to call me up and tell me, oh, he's got a 500 record. Yeah, they didn't. This is a guy that when the lights were brightest, never failed. Went on two ridiculous runs. Went to Lambeau and won. Knocked off a number one seed Dallas Cowboys. Knocked off a undefeated Tom Brady and the Patriots, right? But they want to tell you, oh, yeah, he was pedestrian. And he only went to four Pro Bowls and he was never the best. Yeah, look at the guys that his own brother he had to deal with. Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Philip Rivers, Tom Brady. Those guys were around. If the Giants built a better team around Eli, maybe he'd have some better stats. The Giants also failed Eli because they benched him. That Iron Man run of consecutive starts should have been longer. You know it and I know it. That would have helped him build a better first-round ballot case. They're talking about Luke Kuechly should have been in over Eli, man. It's crazy. 888-808-1019. Build the offensive line. Don't get so cute. And yeah, they need a quarterback. That's also their mistake and fault, right? They paid Daniel Jones and then didn't pay Saquon. And then couldn't draft a Jaden Daniels because Tommy Cutlets won games and they had to build morale. Like the Giants have done so many things that don't make sense. They could have traded Saquon away and got some value for him. They could have gave Saquon a little bit more money and kept him away from their division rivals and us living in this reality of Philadelphia being champions again. Richie in Queens, you got it. You're on the Fan. Richie. Going once. Going twice. Got to switch it up, Richie. You're still on hold if you come back. But right now we're going to talk to Justin in Rockaway on the Fan. Hello, Justin.
Hey, K-Mac. What's great. Up? Hearing from you, bud. Listen, shout out Raider Nation. They are all reveling in this humiliating defeat, you know?
Yeah. Chiefs anyway. Get knocked off. You better go get Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I'm okay with Sam Darnold. I'm big on that. I got a bobblehead of Sam Darnold from Jet Star Wars Day that I passed off to a Jets fan in Vegas that might come back to me. But anyway, back to my point. You know, one of the evening hosts, Evan Roberts, is a Nets fan. And, you know, is telling the Nets to slow down on winning.
Oh, it's too late.
Ah, man, exactly. Jordy Fernandez is up there for, I don't know, at least a couple of Coach of the Year votes, man. He could get wins with
only in the tri-state area, but no, I hear you.
Well,
he's a good coach.
Sure.
He's right. Not going to get the nod, but I respect him. And you know,
voter too.
Something I said, Justin, was I think this guy's going to be in Brooklyn for the long haul. I don't want his career record to be so damaged off this first year. It's too late to tank.
Well,
we're not getting a top three pick. It's too late. The tank is over. Go ahead and push for the play-in. I don't care.
Right. Forget the lottery. We got rid of Ben Kardashian. Let's start afresh and carry Jordy Fernandez with this hard-working group. I love
the
it.
The buyout
I'm into
news
it.
With Ben Simmons, I have been wearing my Nets gear again. I've been putting on Nets hoodies. I have my Nets jacket in here just to get Ben Simmons street clothes off the team. I just feel like it took so long. I never wanted him here. I feel like we're heading in the right direction. And, I mean, the first night that they do that, they go out there and ball. They won 4 out of 5 games, right? They get rid of Ben Simmons. They put up 102 on the Heat. They're winning. They've won 5 out of 6 games. Like, the tank is over.
I'm into it.
I'm into it, too. Go for the play-in. It's right there in front of you. And here's the other thing about the draft. They have other people's picks. And we have no choice but to trust in Sean Marks, right? And Sean Marks, we trust. He has been able to draft a Cam Thomas, a Nick Claxton. The guys that you're seeing on a nightly basis, he drafted. So I trust that he'll be able to find the next Zaire Williams or Noah Clowney or Trendon Watford or Jalen Wilson. You know what I'm saying? Keon Johnson. He'll be able to find more of those guys in the draft. It doesn't necessarily have to be the top guys, the Cooper Flags, the Ace Bailey's, you know, we don't need to be a top three lottery team.
We got a lot of great pick capital. We're going to use it effectively. And I'll leave you with one quick thought. I got a signed Ben Simmons jersey for $36 on eBay.
Use it as a doorstop to keep the cold air out from the bottom of the door.
I put it on my vacuum cleaner. Sorry, Ben Simmons, if you're listening. Have a good night, K-Mac. Take care, bud.
Thanks for the call, Justin. 888-808-1019. This Nets world will be rebuilt. Give it some time. All right. Let's go back to the phone. It's not Richie in Queens, but maybe John in Garden City can follow up what I was talking about with Eli Manning and the Giants.
So, hey, 100%, K-Mac. K-Mac, I'm a Jet fan. I believe the Jets had about 26 quarterbacks over the time that Eli did not miss a game, and you hit it on the head. It's the Giants' fault. They did not have to draft a quarterback for 10 or 15 years. Do you imagine the game planning when you know your guy is the starter week after week after week? So shame on them for not putting a better team around them. You see what happens. Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback. He looked horrible because he was running for his life. You need the offensive line.
I guarantee you the Chiefs refigure that offensive line again, like they did when they lost to Tampa in the Super Bowl a few years back. They're going to change that offensive line again. What's the point of having the GOAT quarterback if he can't play his game, if he can't get his feet set?
Right, but can you imagine if Eli had a good offensive line all the time? First ballot, hands down.
Yeah, he put up yards. He put up touchdowns. I think he'd have a better record. He wouldn't be 500. He'd have a more of a winning record. That would, you know, that's what the knock is. Oh, his stats are pedestrian. He was never the top quarterback in the game. Well, there's a lot of competition. He was competing against Hall of Famers.
That's right. And can you please comment on when your team never has to draft a quarterback for that many years?
The guy forced his way here. How about that, right? The guy wanted to be here. The guy forced his way here and was the perfect quarterback as far as his temperament. Never let anything get to him. He played in a time where, not like Patrick Mahomes, you put a finger on Patrick Mahomes. Well, not in the Super Bowl. They put up hands, fingers, elbows, helmets on him. But Eli played in a time where you could actually beat the crap out of the quarterback. He took hits. He was bloodied, and he always got up, and he played hurt.
You're right.
So if you got a guy like that, protect him. Put the best around him. I know they tried to get Odell Beckham Jr. and Saquon late in his career. That's the wrong way. Not the skill positions. Get the wall in front of him, and he'll make the skill position guys greater. He seemed to always make the great throw, whether it was David Tyree, whether it was Mario Manningham, or the one-handed catch to Odell Beckham Jr. The Giants failed Eli, too.
That's right. The best throws in the biggest games, the biggest gamer, the guy the team could get around, no drama, class act. Eli is a first-team Hall of Famer, and I think some of these writers don't understand how important it is for a team to know that their guy is going to be there week in and week out. Look at the Jets. Look at the number of quarterbacks they've drafted, and it just
restarted. That's why they can't get right. It's why they've had this drought. Thanks for the call, John. One thing about Eli and another thing about the Jets, 888-808-1019. I think I'm going to come up on a break soon here. You know, we are in an echo chamber here. If you listen to WFAN, most of us are going to be pro Eli Manning because we lived it. We experienced it. We watched it. You know, I heard Big Mac one night after my show talk about the parade in 2011 that the Giants brought here and how improbable those runs were in 2007 and 2011 and how, you know, those were bigger championships than, say, the Yankees winning because it just was like a crazy feeling of euphoria and ecstasy. Oh my God, we went from a wild card or a 9-7 and won and beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, the best of all time. To us, those are gems. To us, those two Super Bowl rings are hella shiny. To the rest of the football world, they're flukes. And a fluke is supposed to only be once, but like they don't value those runs and those Super Bowls the same as we do here in the tri-state area. It doesn't make any sense. I was in here the night of Eli Manning getting the snub, and they had top 10 Super Bowl moments from, I don't know, the last 20 years. What was number one? The David Tyree helmet catch. So I'm like, if that's the number one moment, right? Eli gave us drives, throws, moments that you will never forget in Super Bowl history. And the whole thing about the Hall of Fame is supposed to be telling the story of the game. And you can't tell the story of the greatest quarterback in the game, the seven-time Super Bowl champion who was calling the Super Bowl and the Eagles were on defense and he said Jahan Dotson. And he didn't even say Jahan Dotson. He said Jawan Dotson. I'm sitting there in my living room like, that's so bad. My wife's like, what do you mean that's so bad? I'm like, that's so bad that Tom Brady is calling the Super Bowl. He doesn't even know the players on the roster. Not even the roster. He doesn't even know who's on the field. You got a sheet in front of you. And didn't you call games all year? 888-808-1019. And on the Jets side, man, my guy, Will Chiarucci, he's a big Jets fan, Jets season ticket holder. Will, if you're listening, bro, make another video. He had a video of all the Giants quarterback jerseys he bought over the years from McCown to Fitzmagic. He had Tebow in there, I think. Obviously, Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson. Now that Aaron Rodgers one goes into the pile, who will be next? Peter's in Lawrence, New Jersey. Peter, you're on the Fan. You got it.
Maybe they'll bring back Richard Tott.
Wait, who?
Do you remember him?
Richard Tott?
Richard, after Joe Namath.
No, I'm a 90s kid. Tott. I'm Googling Richard Tott.
No, Richard Tott. Google Richard Tott.
Richard Tott.
After
Namath. Yeah, I got nothing on that. It's far before my time. How long did he play for the Jets?
Back in the 70s.
1976 to 1983. My older brother was born in that time, who was 10 years older than me.
I am old enough to be your father. I'm 64.
Yes, sir.
It's like what I say to my nieces when with my birthday. Will you still feed me? Will you still love me when I'm 64? What do you think of Justin Fields coming to either the Jets or the Giants,
mm-hmm,
and bringing a different atmosphere to the team? Something new, something fresh, something possible.
I like the thought.
Making a name for himself on the New York circuit.
Thanks for the call, Peter, and the quick laugh. Richard Tott and God bless you to make it to, you know, 64, 65. Anybody listening that's up there, you're not old, you're blessed. Justin Fields is only 25. And I've known about Justin Fields since I was working at MTV, and during my lunch break, I would watch QB1. QB1 was a streaming series, and I forget what platform it was on. It was on like a random platform that was like a startup, but it was a show featuring the best college quarterback or high school quarterbacks before they go to college. This kid was the best quarterback coming out of Georgia. He was so confident in himself that he took his scholarship to go to UGA, knowing that Jake Fromm was there, who just won a national championship or just went to the national championship, and he didn't care. He went there for a year. He kind of played like, you know, tried to be like a Tim Tebow, Chris Leak with Fromm, and ultimately he left to go to Ohio State. But what I'm saying is this guy was in the same class as Trevor Lawrence. It was always those two at the top. And then when the draft happened, Trey Lance snuck into there, bust. Zach Wilson snuck into there, bust. I think Justin Fields has a lot of good football left in him. I don't know if the Steelers let him get away. I don't know if the Steelers don't try and run it back again with Fields and Wilson. I'm sure one of them is going to want to leave and the other one get the nod, but you need two quarterbacks in this league. I think he'd be great for Dable because Dable likes to call design runs for the quarterback. And also the way Justin Fields throws the ball downfield, I just could see him and Malik Nabers really kind of, you know, getting in rhythm and developing something. But I don't know. We'll find out soon. We'll find out soon. When we come back, okay, I have a couple minutes here to get back to Richie in Queens. Richie in Queens is back on the line. I have a couple minutes to take the call. But, yeah, I like the idea for Justin Fields for the Jets, too. He's younger. He wouldn't be a bridge. He'd be a guy that, you know, you try to work with and develop. Maybe there's some ties there. I don't know. I got to do some digging on, you know, Ohio State and Georgia and Chicago and Pittsburgh. And I don't know. Maybe they have some connections to Justin Fields. Justin Fields should want to come to New York. There are two teams here. He should want to come here and re-energize his career. The kid started off 4-0 this year with Pittsburgh, but their passing game lacked a little bit. His decision-making, some of his throws, he didn't necessarily have the touch on his throw like Russell Wilson has, but Russell Wilson is 10 years older than him, way more experienced. Russell Wilson might want to be the Giants quarterback. He stopped by last year on his way to Pittsburgh, remember? He talked to Dable and Shane and ultimately went to Sixburg. But Richie in Queens, you ready to go? You're live now.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, Fields, absolutely. That's one of the reasons I was going to call you. I love that idea. I would take Travis Hunter. I think he's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
They need a cornerback. So Banks is not really stacked up. Jackson's going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go, you know, the kid that you're going to hear about, Keith, I think is McCord, the Syracuse quarterback. I'm curious to see how he does in the combine. I led the nation. I know it's Syracuse and people will say, but I think, you know, how people get caught up in the combines. Got a great arm, good size. And I would even go with Dart in the second round or the kid from Alabama, but sign Fields for a year or two. I think that would be an upgrade, and also get the defensive player like Hunter or even the edge rusher from Penn State.
The thing about real quick, bringing in a Fields with a young guy, I wouldn't want Fields to be the veteran that the young guy is learning from. Kind of like Mike White with Zach Wilson. Like they kind of cancel each other out. They're competing against each other, and they're both learning at the same time.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a very good point. But, you know, they're going to have to do something just to upgrade, to give a little bit of feeling back to the fans, you know, that, hey, we're trying to do something positive. If they can get Cam Ward, I'd say go with him. You know, but I guess if one of those two quarterbacks are available, they're probably going to jump on them. You know, the Strahan thing, Keith, I don't get it. That was stupid. I mean, I don't usually like to get into stuff like that, but it just made no sense. I mean, you know, to put yourself, you know, being a Giant, I know with the animosity.
He said he did it because he loves Saquon. He loves that man more than the Giants, more than Giants fans. It was all for TV, yeah. All for the bit. I know Tiki Barber wouldn't have picked up that flag. Evan 2 days ago mentioned Jeter, who does the same type of stuff on Fox for baseball. As soon as they bring in Mr. Met mascot to the set, Jeter walks off the set. As soon as David Ortiz whips out a Red Sox hat or something, Jeter is not going for it. He just won't.
No, I think, it just doesn't make any sense. Hey, look, and the other thing, too, real quick, I'll put a bow on the Super Bowl. You know, if it wasn't for the fact that it was Mahomes and Reed, Philadelphia was the much better team. And I'm not saying this after the fact. They just were. Their offensive line is just incredible, obviously, Evan Barkley. Their receivers, their defense, just they had the edge. But the whole thing was, can they beat Mahomes? Can you beat Sirianni, who's not a good coach? Reed, you know, and having Spags, defensive coordinator. So is it a big upset? The way it was played and the way it came out was really, nobody saw that coming.
But yeah, we should have known better, Richie. Domination. Thanks for the call. We should have known better, Richie. The Chiefs were fighting for their lives against the Carolina Panthers. It took everything for the Chiefs to beat the Raiders. It took everything for, you know what I'm saying, for them to barely beat very pedestrian teams, the Broncos this year. Like, we should have known. It wasn't so much that they were, you know, just so great in surviving. It's that they were mid, and their pedigree and their coach and their quarterback and who they are was how they were able to navigate and survive through these games. They were so overmatched. It was so apparent. It was so disappointing.